Welcome to the Wealth Matters Podcast, where investors come together to better understand how to build passive cash flow and create generational wealth without all the confusing mumbo-jumbo. Here's your host and co-author of Amazon number one bestseller, Alpesh Pamar.
Welcome to Wealth Matters Podcast. We are going to talk to someone who has been using the shred method, not to shred his papers, but shred his debt away. His name is Adam Carroll. He paid off his home in record time, saving over 180 grand in interest in the process. And he's sharing this strategy with the world in order to help people free themselves to be themselves. So welcome, Adam.
Alpesh, thank you for having me. This is so much fun. We're going to have a great conversation today.
Absolutely. So we start with this question with everyone. Tell us something funny or interesting about yourself.
Oh, something funny or interesting. Well, I this might be interesting. I don't know if it's funny, but I was I was kind of an adrenaline junkie early in my life. So I have been scuba diving off the Great Barrier Reef in Australia.
Wow.
I have skydived twice. I have bungee jumped at the tallest bungee jump in the world. I have raced jet boats in New Zealand. So there was a time where that, like, it was just how exciting can we make things? That was all about, I was all about it in my life.
That's crazy. So I was just going to say bungee jumping. I think that's the most scariest thing would be for me. And I love adrenaline, but not at that level. I do a lot of crazy hikes and triathlons and races stuff to keep me, keep me busy and keep me, focused on my goals, but not something, not yet scuba diving and bungee jumping.
Well, here's the kicker too, Alpesh. When we went out scuba diving, they literally trained us how to scuba dive on the boat going out to the dive site.
Oh, wow. So you were not certified then?
Oh, no, I'm not PADI certified no, had nothing. They literally, strapped the regulator on and say, okay, practice breathing, and this is how you clear your mask, and these are the hand signals you're going to give, that kind of thing. And then they put us in the water and lower us down on a grate, and then, gave us the okay signal if we were good to go. And then we went down. So it was probably one of the most surreal experiences I've ever had.
That is amazing. Yeah, you're right. It would be surreal because you had not experienced it at all before. Like, it's, when you are going through the certification and stuff, you go in the water, you get to get used to it and all that. Wow, that's interesting. So let's talk about investment.
Yes.
What do you personally invest in and why?
Well, this is a great question because years ago, I would say I invested in residential real estate. And, in addition to equities and things like that, I thought early on 10, 15 years ago that what I wanted to do was own a huge number of rental properties and be a landlord. And I got up to, I think I was up to 6 or 7 doors. And, I was also at the time building a speaking business. So I was going out and presenting on college campuses and to associations and trade groups. And I would find myself coming back from a speaking gig fully lit up, and I would come back to messages from my tenants saying, oh, this is broken and this needs to be. And it occurred to me after a few years that really what I wanted was I wanted passive income from real estate.
Yes.
But I didn't want to actively manage real estate. And so today my investments have changed to be more in the syndication nature. We're now looking at some various other opportunities like hotel investments. We're looking at ATM tranches. I mean, there's all sorts of alternative investments out there that don't require direct management. And I feel like that's where I'm at now. So we're doing more and more of that.
So yeah, exactly what I'm doing right now. And I tell all my friends when they ask me, I want to get started in real estate, I'm like, first thing you want to figure out, do you want to be active or passive?
Yes.
And they're like, oh, we'll just hire a property manager like you do. I'm like, yes. that is still, you got to still manage your property manager.
Yeah.
It's not 100% passive. You are still semi-active, right? And so totally. If you want to be 100% passive, then go with syndication.
Yeah.
And that is what I do. People invest with me in syndication, but I manage the properties or the syndication side. So, no, that's great.
It's brilliant. You know, from the perspective of following what you do to make money really well, you know, as an example that like, I know where my skill set is, yes. My sweet spot. I know how I make money. I know how I make really good money in a short amount of time. And I trust guys like you to take those investments and go multiply them because it's in everyone's best interest to do that, right?
Yeah. No, I think it makes sense because then you can be focused on what you do the best, right?
Absolutely.
So you mentioned about the SHRED method, and
yeah.
I told you that I already kind of used the method and we'll talk about it in more detail. But just to shed light on it, what are the two greatest expenses in life?
Yeah, I learned this years ago. And my wife and I were newly married. We were trying to figure things out financially, trying to come together and have combined incomes and manage our expenses well. And there was a book that someone had referred me to. And in this book, it said, the two greatest expenses we have in life are taxes and the interest expense on debt.
Yep.
And when I read that, I thought, wow, what if you could minimize your taxes, which you've obviously figured out how to do, and other real estate investors have figured out how to do. And then when you figure out how to minimize the interest expense on debt, it's almost like unlocking the cheat code in a video game.
Right.
So that once you do this, it literally becomes like a video game you can't lose. And when we really started leveraging the SHRED method and some of our tax reduction strategies, honestly, Alpesh, just felt like there was more and more and more money all the time that just continually multiplied. And I have to say that one of my mantras was money comes easily and frequently. And it just became more and more true for me the longer we used this method and the longer we figured out how to make our money work for us and work less for the bank.
Oh, that is interesting. And we keep talking about this method called SHRED method. What do you mean by it?
Yeah. So the SHRED method itself is basically founded in the idea that an amortized mortgage is 100% in the bank's best interest.
Of course.
Right. So when a bank loans you money, one of the things that became crystal clear for me at one point, almost like if you remember the movie, The Matrix, when Morpheus gives either the red pill or the blue pill, I feel like I took the red pill at some point and it opened my eyes to what banks do. And so to your listeners, what I would say is that if you owe a bank money, you are the bank's compound interest vehicle, right? Oh. You are the vehicle that the bank is using to make money and make profits. And I laugh today that, you know, if I drove a mile away from my home in any direction, I bet in the 1 mile diameter around my home, there are probably no less than 25 bank branches, 25 in a mile.
Wow.
And they're building big, brand new buildings all the time. So when you realize that, as I did, I started to question, is there a better way of borrowing money from the bank, but then paying the bank back in a way that minimizes the interest liability? And that's really when I found the SHRED method. And I will say, Alpesh, that this is known as a couple of things. It could be known as velocity banking. It's known as an Australian mortgage. There's
a
variety
Australian
of different
mortgage.
Yeah, a variety of different names for it. But I think what we've done with the SHRED method is we've created it as one part of what I call a 10-year freedom plan. So it's the SHRED method is first. We do that for maybe a year to 3 years. And in the midst of that, then we're building an infinite bank, which is basically infinite banking is using cash value life insurance,
whole life, yeah.
To build a bank of money that you can borrow from. And then it's turning around and investing with people like you, where you're doing syndications and your money just makes money.
Yeah.
And you do that long enough and diligently enough with consistency, within 10 years, every single person out there could be financially free.
That is amazing. And I did not think of combining both of these. Of course, I'm doing them, right now, as I told you, I had the HELOC and I was paying off the mortgage, but I also yes. have the high cash value life insurance. But now I can see what you mean by starting with the SHRED method and then having that life insurance policy. Take the loan on that policy, pay 4-5% dividend and make, you know, 5-10%, at least 6-10% on that money, arbitraging your own money.
That's exactly right. All the while having no payment on the money you've borrowed out of the policy.
That is the key, because you don't have to worry about any amortization.
That's right. That's right. So we, you know, we teach people how to do this. We start with the SHRED method and we teach them how, by using a line of credit, or it could be even an emergency savings fund that's been sitting there idle for some amount of time, but we show people how to reorient their cash flow. So it's not just sitting in a checking account or a savings account for months and years on end, but instead what you're doing is you are building equity in a property, which translates to liquidity when you're using a line of credit or a cash flow, you know, a cash value policy. So the reality is that most people don't have an income problem, Alpesh. They have a cash flow or a liquidity problem.
Right.
So the income is what allows them to take out the loans, and the bank has already underwritten those. But what they lack is figuring out, what do you do with the extra amount, the discretionary income that's left over, to make it as efficient as humanly possible so that you can play the bank's game against the bank. And when you do that, again, you can be free in 10 years if you wanted to be.
So this is great. And I, as I said, I'm already doing the strategy, so I understand for my listeners. And actually, this was episode number 2 on my podcast show about how to use HELOC to, you know, pay off your debt. And this would be, you know, this episode would be about episode number 303. So we have spoken about this before. My question is, can you talk about this amortization, how banks actually screw all of us? And when everyone is happy by refinancing, by paying, after paying interest for 5 years, actually you are losing money. You know, because all the time they charge upfront fees, right? Yep. So if you have paid mortgage for, I tell my friends and listeners, if you have paid mortgage for a year, maybe refinance if you have a 1-point difference. Right. But if you have paid for at least 5 years, don't even think about it. It's worth it. But can you explain the compounded interest rate and the daily interest rate?
Yes. And this is so critical for people to understand. I was in the mortgage business for 5 years.
Oh, okay.
And I was guilty. I was one of the ones who was going back to my clients and saying, hey, congratulations, rates went down 3/4 of a point.
Refinance.
You should refinance. And then I started realizing that, man, this is just, here's what happened. People would sell their home and they would say, oh man, we're going to get a big fat check at the closing table.
Right.
And they would get to closing and they go, what do you mean I'm going to get $2,000?
I've been paying
on this for how long? And so here's what happens, Alpesh. When, let's just say I've got numbers on my screen in front of me. I'm going to read to you. So let's say someone buys a home for $300,000. They put 10% down.
Right.
So they have a mortgage for 270. Mm-hmm. Right now, interest rates probably are going to be somewhere between 6.5 and 7.5, depending on where they're borrowing and what their credit score is and all of that. But at about 7.25, the payment on $270,000 is right around $1,860.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's the first month and every month's payment, right? That's how a mortgage works. How much do you think interest is in month one? Of that 1860, how much is interest?
About 1100 to 1200.
At 7.25%, it is 1657.
Right now, correct.
1657.
That is crazy. So you're barely paying any principal.
Barely paying any. And if you took, you know, what is the nut, $210 or something like that difference, $210 off of 270,000 isn't going to change the interest amount by much more than $2 or $3, if that. So not only is the interest in month one $1,650, it will be that way for the next potentially 2 years.
Yeah.
Where the upfront amount that you're paying in interest is so significant. Yeah. But here's where the magic of the line of credit comes in. Let's assume that someone has a $10,000 line of credit and they decide they're going to put $5,000 as a one-time lump sum payment against that mortgage. So they drop $5,000 from the HELOC onto the mortgage, and now their balance isn't 270, it's 265. It would take them the better part of 5 years to get to $265,000 on a balance of their mortgage, but they did it in one lump sum payment from the HELOC.
Right.
And because their income is cycling through the HELOC, they're going to deposit it right back in there. They'll use the HELOC as a line of credit to pay expenses and whatnot. The amount of interest they pay is negligible. It's going to be dollars, maybe tens of dollars, but they've saved the equivalent of what could be $40,000 or $50,000 in interest by making that one-time lump sum payment of $5,000. And this is really where, when people get it, and I've seen, we've done programs in front of hundreds of people, and their eyes get as big as saucers. It's like showing the caveman fire sometimes, you know, when you show them this. Because it's not magic, it's math. And people just generally are not good at they're either not good at math or they're not questioning the math, you know? Here's the question I would have people ask. As you're driving around your community and you see a new bank building being built, ask yourself, how is that even possible? Because when you start to realize, oh, we make it possible as the borrowers, and we flip the script and we start figuring out that model for ourselves, you can be miles ahead in a short amount of time, like literally 12 to 18 months, if you do this well, by making one minor tweak in your day-to-day operations.
Oh, that's great. So I'm going to throw you some curveballs because I have done this strategy before.
Please.
We haven't spoken about this. One question I have is that, can you do this on investment properties? And I tried it myself. It was very hard to get HELOC. Almost every bank kept saying no.
Yes.
Finally, I was able to get an AIO, which is called all-inclusive loan.
Yes.
But why is it so hard to get HELOC on investment properties?
My assumption is, and it's purely an assumption, that investment properties are too easy to walk away from.
Right.
And so the lenders, they see that as a greater risk. But what I will say is that you can use the strategy. What it would likely require is a business line of credit that you would take out on. And ideally, you'd probably have to have an LLC or a C Corp, depending on how you hold your properties. It's probably going to need to be in existence for a period of time. So if you are even considering getting started investing, my recommendation would be go open an LLC checking account, run some income and expenses through that account so there's some activity showing. And when the time comes here in 12 or 24 months, go back to that bank and say, listen, I've had this account here for 2 years. Could I get a BLOC? And candidly, Alpesh, I went into my bank having had my account there for, I probably had it there for nearly 3 years, but I went in one day and I just said, what would it take to just get a cash flow line of credit? Just, you know, for cash flow purposes, payroll purposes, you know, accounts receivable is slow or whatever. And the woman behind the desk is clicking away on her keys and she goes, oh, I could give you $42,000.
Nice.
Just by asking. So for some of the folks out there, a BLOC would suffice, or BLOC. You can also use the high equity cash value life insurance policies as your line. So even if you had a small policy with $5,000 or $10,000 in it, you could start functioning that policy as your line of credit on rental properties or investment properties. And I'm a huge believer in doing this with rentals, but it's not necessarily to pay off the debt entirely. It's to accelerate the amortization table to where the majority of your payment's going to principal as opposed to going to interest. And what you'll do then is you'll juice the cap rate, because you're going to make a little bit more on that investment when more of the rent that you're receiving is going to principal as opposed to interest.
Wow. I asked you the question to take us towards the business line of credit. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
But I did not think about just shredding enough debt away so that now you are taking the most of the cash flow, right? Because
totally.
Yeah, if you think of it that way, you don't want to get rid of debt, at least on the rental side.
That's right.
Debt is your friend.
That's
but you
exactly
want
right.
to pay maybe for 5 years or something, 5 to 10 years, and then most of your money is going towards principal.
That's exactly right. And the other strategy that we teach people is, once you've done that, once you've gotten the mortgage balance down to a certain level, you could also reach out to the mortgage company and have them recast your mortgage.
I did that.
You did.
Mortgage recasting, yeah.
Yes. And so what happens for your listeners when you recast is, let's say you still have 26 or 27 years remaining on the mortgage, but you owe $50,000 or $60,000 or $100,000 less. They will recast the mortgage based on your current balance, but extend it over the same amount of time that is left on the mortgage. They won't change your rate. You're actually going to pay a significantly smaller amount of interest by doing that. And you're getting greater cash flow from that property because the payment is less.
Yeah, the payment is less. So definitely recasting is the way to go instead of refinancing. Because a lot of time people will think, oh, now I have such a low payment and let me just refinance. So even my payment reduces. I'm like, recasting is the way to go.
Absolutely.
So another question about this, and this has been my personal dilemma as well, because now I had on my personal home side, I had HELOC, right? And I was using HELOC. So all my income, everything goes to HELOC.
Yeah.
Pretty much my checking and savings had like $4,000 or $5,000.
Yeah.
But I'm an active real estate investor.
Yep.
So I'm always looking at properties. I'm
totally
like constantly the lenders and banks are asking me for net worth and personal financial statements and liquidity. And when I have money stashed away in HELOC and the high cash value life insurance, it was always a problem.
Totally.
So how do you work around this problem?
This is a great question. And I'm curious, when they look at your statements, does the money in the policy not account for liquidity in underwriting?
No,
really?
They're like, you should take the loan out and show it on your statements. And I had done that.
Interesting. But
even from HELOC,
seasoned,
I had to. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So from HELOC, I had to take the money out, like $100,000, $150,000 from the policy and keep it for 2 to 3 months. Then they're like, okay, now it's fine.
And again, this goes to the heart of banks and how banks operate. And it's frustrating, I think is probably the best way to describe it. A number of our shred clients will come to us and say, we're getting ready to do X, and it could be, we're going to do a remodel. We're going to buy a rental property. We're going to invest in a syndication. And what we often do, we'll do is say, okay, before you do, at least 60 to 90 days ahead of time, let's plan out what this looks like from a financial perspective. Because the way lenders look at bank accounts, to your point, is they're looking at how much did you have in there for the last 60 days?
Right.
Because if you go to you pull $100,000 out of your policy, and you drop it in checking, knowing that you're going to go invest next week, it'll raise all sorts of red flags.
Exactly.
And they'll say, where did this come from? And what's the payment? Now we need 2 years of tax returns and show me all your bank statements. So there's definitely a strategy behind this and an order of operations of moving the money that you want to work with a coach or a professional before you do it.
Oh, that makes sense. So thank you so much, Adam, for showing us how the shred method works and sharing lots and lots of golden nuggets. Are you ready for fire round?
Let's do it.
Would you be changing any business or investment strategy because of the inflation or upcoming recession?
I am. So this is interesting. I'm selling a bunch of puts on the stocks that I want to buy, but I want to buy super cheap. So that is one thing that I'm changing, because as stocks were moving up, it didn't really provide the opportunity I was looking for.
Right.
But as they're either going sideways or down, I'm looking at acquiring a number of shares of stock, but I want them at a certain price point. So as I'm selling puts, I'm going to make money on the sale of the put.
Yes.
And the money is in the account to buy the stock at the price I want to buy it at. And I have to credit, I learned all that from Rule One Investing from Phil Town, who, you know, I watched him buy Chipotle Mexican Grill at $300 a share. And he was like, oh, this is a $600 stock, no question. And I remember thinking, for burritos,
yeah,
there is no way. And today Chipotle's at $1,200 or $1,300 a share. So that is one change that we're making in our portfolio.
That's great. Favorite real estate or finance or any other related book?
I'll tell you what, this is not really related to, it's kind of tangentially related to finance, but there is a book called A Happy Pocket Full of Money.
Happy Pocket Full of Money.
And it is less about, it is less about money and more about quantum physics and the idea that what we think about, we bring about. And it's kind of a mind scramble when you first read it, but I read it twice a year, every year.
Oh, really?
And
wow.
Typically it's on vacation. I'll take it and it just gets my mind right about attracting the experience I want and what the next year is going to be like. That is one of my favorite go-to books.
So it is similar. Is it similar to the book called The Secret and The Manifestation? And
I wouldn't say it's like The Secret exactly, because he really goes into the science of how quantum physics works,
okay.
Which, not to bore your listeners, but it's the idea that our thoughts have energy. So when we think a thought, it emanates from our brain in both waves and particles, and they can exist simultaneously and exist anywhere in the ether, right? And they're constantly looking for like particles to attract to them. So as we think about abundance and wealth and great real estate deals, our eyes become open to those things because the energy from our brain has gone out to find those ideas. And I will say that the more I have gotten into that line of thinking and focused on, you know, positive attention going where I want it to go, the easier life has become in terms of abundance that comes our way.
That's awesome. I'll have to check out that book.
Yeah, it is phenomenal.
Any tool or website you recommend or you cannot live without?
I'll tell you, the tool that we use to run our business is Asana, the project management tool.
Yeah. Asana is great.
And the reason that I promote it and we're huge fans of it is everything feels like it's important when you're running a business or, you know, raising a family or whatever it may be. And that tool for me is about zeroing into what is the most important in the moment. And so I use it on a daily basis to focus on the most important, and we prioritize tasks and, you know, put dates next to tasks. We assign them to team members. But if I did not have that, I would be half as productive without that tool.
That is great. Any advice for beginner investors?
Advice for beginner investors. This is an easy one for me. It's align yourself with a mentor who has done it. There are too many people that are going about investing, whether it be in real estate or stocks and bonds or crypto for that matter, or whatever they're investing in, that they're going about it without following the advice of someone who knows of which they speak. And the reason it's an easy answer for me is one of my very first properties that I invested in was a massive, like, 4-bedroom, 4-bath home that I bought at an auction. And I had not done my research effectively. I didn't know what the taxes were. I didn't know what the true market value of it was. I didn't really know how much the repairs were going to cost on the inside. And I walked around the house after buying it with a gentleman who was like, I would do this and this and this and this and this and this. And he just broke the house down 100%. And I said, I can't thank you enough. I just wish I had met you before I bought the house. And he said, do me a favor and call me anytime before you come to something like this, or you just want to chat through an opportunity. And that guy became one of my most trusted advisors. And he would have saved me tens of thousands of dollars had I met him 2 days before. So for beginner investors, find a mentor, align yourself with someone who knows what they're doing, and trust trust them in that process.
That is a great advice. How do you give back?
You know, I'm on a board. I'm a board member of a nonprofit, and the nonprofit is really about financial education. And so a majority of our giving goes back to that organization. And then my wife and I have a number of organizations that we hold near and dear to our heart that get some of our giving every single year. I think candidly, one of the best ways I can give back is to share freely of this information.
Right.
Because what I really want to do, as you mentioned in my intro, is help people free themselves to be themselves. And I think that what a lot of people are struggling with, Alpesh, is they have gotten themselves sort of paymented into a corner. So they have so many payments and so many bills every single month. There's not really enough left over to truly get ahead. And what we want to do is help people get ahead by educating them in this method and just general financial education. And for me, it's a huge passion, a huge give back.
That's awesome. How can my listeners reach out to you?
I'll tell you, the best place to find me candidly is on Instagram. So I am adam.carroll, 2 R's, 2 L's on Instagram. You can find me online, adamcarroll.info. And then if you're interested in the Shred Method, you can go visit theshredmethod.com, where we have a masterclass. There's a ton of great information in the way of blog posts and videos there. But any questions you have around that, you can also reach out to our team on the website and schedule a 20-minute call to go through your numbers, and we can show you exactly how fast you could be out of debt and how much you could save.
It's awesome. Thank you so much, Adam, for your time today.
Thank you for having me, Alpesh. Keep doing what you do. This is important. As you know, wealth matters.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Wealth Matters podcast. If you enjoyed it, please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes so others can enjoy the show too. Have a great week and happy investing.